west of us.
And what's causing that, though?
Farmers taking more water than is available, that is coming in. So there's a glass of water, and some guy with a straw is drinking out of it, and then somebody's pouring water in. The person drinking is drinking faster than what's being poured into that basin. So that water's going down. And when you create that when it goes down, you create a draft. You create a way, a flow of water to go downhill. It likes to go downhill. Water doesn't go uphill. So it's trying to fill that hole that's emptying out by the people west of us.
So isn't there any regulations against that?
That's what Sigma's doing.
That's what this is. But the drought and not getting the
federal supply
water is what made the difference.
A lot of things cause problems. I mean, those are the kind of things, the conditions that are created. The bottom line is we have to become sustainable by State Groundwater Management Act by 2040. We've defined what that is in this document. We defined our goals, our measurable objectives. We defined the undesirable results. And we said, this is the plan that we're going to submit to the state somewhere in January. The city's received a copy of this. In fact, I think this is Mike's. And he has the responsibility of making sure it gets reviewed and the city gets comments to us. You've been involved almost entirely, Mike, is on our TAC. And then Brian comes to the board meeting. So you've been heavily involved, and we appreciate your help. So the annual cost, I've done three areas of cost. Governance is the cost of running the government piece of it, meaning you have an executive director, you have board meetings, and analysts and those kinds of things. Insurance, that costs about $220,000. Each member's paying one-seventh of that. There are seven agencies that are part of that agreement. You're one of them. My district, I work at Linmore as well as I'm the executive director for the GSA. Then implementation, which be the work it will require us, that's going to be required for us to comply with Sigma rules. And that's about $875,000. And the city's cost is about $27,500 of those dollars. Your cost is based on your acreage. So you're acreage is, like 2% of the entire sub-basin. So you're going to pay about 2% of the cost. Well, looks like about 3%. And then projects and management actions, we're saying you're going to spend $0 on those. And there's several million dollars involved in that aspect. And the next chapter or page will talk about why. So if you recall, I said we have 125,000 acre feet assigned to us, groundwater, and we're overdrafting about, they've assigned a 28,000 acre foot overdraft to us. The city of Lindsay is a prescriptive right holder to groundwater. A person living on top of the ground and having land underneath, they have a right to water, what's called an overlying right. You have a prescriptive, you've developed a right to water by using water and delivering it to your customers, your city. Your citizens in your community. Yes.
I'm sorry. Just going way back to the basics. Mm-hmm. 125,000 acre feet supply assigned, 28,000 overdraft assigned. What does that mean? Does that mean that we're currently using more than what we're assigned? Or
the GSA is overdrafting us by assignment, we think, 28,000 acre feet.
Does this mean if they get all of their 125,000 water that they're contracted for? Is that what they're contracted for?
The 125 is groundwater.
We're just talking about
groundwater. We have access to 125,000 acre feet of groundwater.
And you're using more than that.
And we're using 28,000 more than that.
More than that. Okay.
So that's what we've been assigned. The city, again, the city has two sources of water. You're a federal water contractor with about 1,700 acre feet that you use. I think your contract's at 2,500. And then you have about 1,200 acre feet of prescriptive right to groundwater supply. So you add those up, you're right around 3,000, 2,900 acre feet. When you're done with your water, you put 1,600 back out here into your percolation basin on the west side of town. And that water is returned. So your net use, you're a net provider of groundwater. You use 1,200, but you put 1,600 back in the ground. Okay, so you're not an overdrafter. You're not the reason we have an overdraft. So that's another reason why you How much should we be paying as a solution? It appears, next one will tell us why we think you got to pay some. Next, okay. So Sigma is a law, right? It created a law and said, groundwater users will do this. And one of those things is do some reporting, develop a plan, update the plan, do some engineering work, gather data. All those things have to be done to meet the rules, to meet Sigma, to comply with Sigma. And the estimated cost in $2020 for the city is $57,500, according to the prior page, roughly $60,000. That's your skin in the game on this compliance Sigma thing. Even though you're a net provider of groundwater, you got to report. We've got to collect data for you, and we've got to keep track of what's being done and direct this program. So that's where your dollars are spent. Before I go any further, a lot's been said, and I apologize. I'm trying not to give you what's in here. I'm giving you a very abbreviated version. Any questions so far?
Does it address any type of contamination as far as like the pesticides and stuff going into our water?
Yes, it does. And then we can get into Matt can talk more specifically about, he's the smart guy to bring the politics and I bring the good looks, but Matt does all the.
Yeah. So part of the 6 undesirable results through the legislation itself is declining groundwater levels, depleted groundwater storage, land subsidence, impacted groundwater quality, connected surface water, and then seawater intrusion, which is more of a coast thing. We don't have to worry about it here in the Central Valley. And so there's monitoring that's going to be evaluating constituents of concern, which through the sub-basin we've come to 9 that we're going to be tracking more closely. Most of the authorities given to the GSAs is really more of a tracking and to see if there's a nexus between change in quality concentration per an actual act of pumping. There are a number of other agencies that the GSA will be partnering with going forward that are kind of tasked with actual remediation of different things such as nitrates or whatever. There's Irrigated Lands Regulatory Program, there's Division of Drinking Water, there's a number of other programs that we'll be kind of assisting with from a monitoring standpoint, but the actual remediation projects themselves are more from those other agencies, not necessarily the GSA. The GSA is more managing the supply side of it.
Other questions? Got a few more slides real quick.
Yeah. So you're just monitoring, right?
We've been given broad authority to reduce the overdraft, reduce the sustainable. To become sustainable, typically when we talk about sustainability in this area, it's going to be overdraft of groundwater. We've been given broad authority to collect revenue, to place fees upon people, to...
So you're more like of the business aspect of it.
Yeah, we're going to be... What we're going to do is say, okay, we have 125,000 acre feet, and you're... On average, you get 2 acre feet per acre, and you're taking 3, you have to stop that.
Okay.
Or you have to pay for that, and we have to get more water from someplace.
So this is what I care about. I care about good quality drinking water that's not going to make our community sick or cause cancer. I don't want any contaminants that could actually hurt our children. And that's important to me. That's what I would like to be addressed.
Yeah, it's important to us too. It's a requirement of us to observe what's happened in the ground. We don't know the exact reason all of our constituents are in the ground. Arsenic, as an example, has a natural status in the ground. It's there. It exists. And it's nothing we did, but it's a constituent that you should be concerned about as a community. Nitrates, that's caused by farming on the ground. It's caused by dying plants and leaching into the ground. It's caused by effluent return that's not treated and nitrates aren't pulled out of it. That goes into the ground. Those kinds of things are of concern to us. So we need to know what the condition is right now and observe. If the condition changes and gets worse, we have to take more drastic action. Our position is not to create a problem where we can't solve the problem.
That's what I want.
we just can't. I mean, there's just no way to do that. So
the solution is not included in that.
Yeah, solution is...
Well, I think the budget should be greater for solutions instead of just tracking.
Well, the solution, like Mike said, is not in the budget. If we had the solution, as an example, Strathmore is a small community. You know Strathmore. I don't need to preach to you about them, but they're not as good as Lindsay Strathmore, or Lindsay. But Strathmore's got a public utility district. Mm-hmm. All of their supply comes from surface supply, 100%, because their groundwater is not good. It's harmful. It has nitrates in it and some other constituents. So all their water, drinking water, comes from surface supply. But we can't change that condition. That's a historical condition. It's a native or natural condition. It's also, you know, human impact to that ground. So those conditions we can't really affect. We can't change. But what we can do is observe. We don't want those constituents to all of a sudden flow out to Plainview and harm their drinking water. They don't have a drinking water problem. They have good water out there. So we want to observe that. We want to make sure that the actions we're taking, allowing in terms of groundwater pumping, doesn't create a movement of this plume of undesirable groundwater into an area that has good groundwater. We want to minimize that flow.
Well, that would actually have to be like the orange groves and all of that stuff moving over there as well. Because that's where all the fertilizers are used. That's where all the pesticides, you know.
Yeah, and again, there's lots of reasons for those constituents in the ground. Not to say farming is absolutely not the problem. They certainly have been a problem. And historically, we used heavy on the nitrates. Now we don't have to. We're putting nitrates in the water. So it's not so heavy on the nitrogen anymore. So
we're surrounded by communities, though, that for years had no wastewater collection and treatment process. So while we're surrounded by agriculture, we're also surrounded by these small communities that have only been connected to our system for less than 20 years. So studying is the order. Remediation is not. That's a different subject and a different task for us as domestic water suppliers. So it's not past the East Korea GSA.
Well, it should be in the near future.
Well,
I agree.
So that'd be good to get centralized.
$8,000 a year that's not great, but it's way less than what I thought it might be. So
yeah. Solutions for Strathmore to use groundwater range in about the $2.5 to $4 million range for them to use the groundwater they have, and that's just to solve two constituents. There's more constituents than just the two, but those exceed drinking water quality standards. So in Lindsay, we don't mind your guys' effluent as farmers. That helps our Your effluent has nitrates in it, and we can use that. It helps our crop. But it does also add to the ground. So you've, over time, added that problem to the ground. So next slide. Here's the what we call a matrix of sustainable management criteria. This tells you what all we're looking at. So the first three, groundwater elevation going down columns, groundwater storage, and groundwater connected, surface water, groundwater connection. We have all three of those undesirable result management criteria we're going to observe collectively. We're going to be using groundwater levels to observe those areas. And what we've stated is that we're going to allow a gradual decline in the groundwater. Hopefully we just get rain and it doesn't decline. But we're going to allow a gradual decline, and with our actions by reducing demand on the surface, adding additional surface supply, those types of things will offset the demand for groundwater and slowly bring ours up to a sustainable level. Our objective, measurable objective for those is to be where the water was in spring of 2017, which is when I got to Linmore Irrigation District in 2007, our groundwater elevation on average was about 65, 67 feet from surface to groundwater. After 2016, it was about 150 feet. So in that cup, we lost 90 feet, 80 feet. And that represents a lot of water.
Where are we at now, Mike?
125. So we've come back up.
But here's yeah. We're at 165 in our 2 months.
So here's the Linmore Irrigation District and Exeter both have federal contracts, so we have what's called surplus supply or Class 2 supply. In 2017 and 2018 and 2019, between the two of us, 40,000 acre-feet of water went away from this area. 40,000 acre-feet would cover your guys' needs for about 15 years.
What do you mean went away from this area?
We had the asset. We couldn't use it because it was wet.
Because you couldn't store it.
So we sold it to somebody else. We got money for it, but money is of no value. It's like having money but no food.
Yeah.
You can't eat money. It doesn't offer any nutritional value. So now the objective is to not do that. Our objective now is to run wet year supply down Lewis Creek or down Cottonwood, or we're working on it with the city an opportunity to deliver water to some of your basins, create return flows there, add water to the basin using your facilities and Linmore's additional supply. The district is also adding recharge facilities.
Do we need more basins?
Oh, yeah. Because if I've got 40,000 acre feet that went away in 3 years, we got to find a spot for that. Because that 40,000 acre feet solves one, the 28,000 overdraft, that's 1.5 of those. So in wet years, when we have wet years, we need to bring that surface supply
that's
in.
That's how we become sustainable, is what you're saying. We got to capture some of that surface water.
So even the city right now, we'll do deals with the city and the district. We'll pay a lot of money for your water, even though I can get it a lot cheaper, because we want to keep it here. And we can use it when you guys can't. So the market might be $150 to sell it somewhere else, and we'll pay $150 for it, but I could have got it for $40. Yeah, no problem. But it just makes sense, you know, and it's an asset of the city. It has value, and we might as well pay a little bit more for it.
Yeah. Find a place to store it.
Yep. The groundwater quality is another area. We have a method of analyzing that we're going to be drilling wells that are monitoring wells, taking the city's reports, Exeter's reports, Ivanhoe's reports, Woodlake's reports, Strathmore's report. They don't have a report. Who else? Plainview, Stone Corral. So all these places are all over the GSA, and we're going to analyze their groundwater and keep track of how that's looking, if it's going up or going down. You're going to see this ebb and flow anyway. It's this native natural that occurs because there's more water coming in the ground or less water, or it's at a certain level where there's a lot of constituents that are a challenge. And in land subsidence, that's where we're going to observe the height of the Frank Kern Canal. We don't want to ruin the height of the elevation of Frank Kern Canal. That's all of our surface supply. If we reduce that, then we'll have less supply available to us. So we're going to observe that, and then out by Plainview is going to be another observation point, making sure we're not collapsing their well. Those are the next slide. So here's some of the projects we're talking about. You can see, like, Lindsay Recharge Basin right there. That's one that Mike and I, we're in conceptual discussions on that, but we take Linmore's additional supply and we put it in your sub-basins when they're dry and there isn't rain, but there's a lot of water coming. We can use it, and if we can put it in these basins, that recharges in the ground. Guess what that does? Matt will tell you the solution to pollution is dilution. So we take more water, fresh, clean water. We solve the pollution problem. So if we drop water in your basin on, what's the big
Mariposa
basin? Mariposa Basin, maybe you get that well back eventually. It's a lot of money invested in that well. And then a lot of other different projects here, but we think with projects, we'll solve about 15,000 acre feet of the problem, and then with reduction management actions, we'll solve the other 13,000 or so. Next slide. This is the process. So I developed, working with a guy named Richard Moss, Dick Moss, that Provost and Pritchard, he and I put together the East Kuya back in 2016, started about 2015. And then we became our own GSA in 2017. And then we started developing a plan. We have this document now. It's out in the public. We gave the city a 90-day notice. And we intend to adopt this plan sometime in January. We're going to have a hearing on it December 16th. The city can comment, the county can comment, public can comment, and comment all along as well. We intend to adopt it about January 17th. All the sub-basin GSAs, East Kuya, Mid Kuya, and Greater Kuya, will all submit ours together with a formal submittal notice. And then we'll wait several months before the state says, yeah, we accept your GSP, your groundwater plan. And then just about 2 months after we have our plan submitted, we have to do our first report. This is our schedule for the next few months, our focus of effort right now with the East Kuya. And always there's another, probably shouldn't even have put that in there. This is the resolution schematic that says, you know, in this time period, this is how we're going to address by 2040, meeting our 28,000 acre foot overdraft problem.
What if that doesn't happen? What if you're wrong? Does the state get penalized? Does the county get penalized? Does the city get penalized? Is it per year? Do we wait the 20 years?
So all along, every 5 years we do, or every year we do an annual report. It isn't as detailed as an update to the plan, which happens every 5 years. We don't have enough data to be really perfect on it. So we know we have a glass full of dirt and soil and clay and rock and water's in there, and people are taking water and new water's coming in. And our guess is 80,000 is the overdraft value. That's the number that we're overdrafting in the sub-basin. But now our task is to collect data quickly, better data than we've ever collected before, and begin to observe more drastically. And here's the upside. The East Kuya has been looking at its ground since 1950. We have all, the federal contractors all have to report groundwater levels. We measure them. We report them to the federal government. We've been doing that since 1950. And our ground is how it is. It goes up on wet years. It goes down on dry, up on wet. And we're very static. Since about 2000, the groundwater levels have declined drastically, in part because of drought. We've been in drought since 2007, up and through 2017. But the other reason is because more farming has gone from dryland farming to permanent crops. People not in our sub-basin, I mean our GSA, our federal water contractors, we see the same crops that we saw 20 years ago. But what we're seeing now is west of us, a substantial more demand on the ground, fixed demand. So when it's a dry year, they still got to get 3 or 4 acre foot per acre to farm their crop. On an annual crop, they would go, I'm just not going to plant this year. I can't afford, I don't have groundwater. But now they go, I got to have it. I got $1 million invested in this project. I'm going to pump groundwater. So we're overdrafting it by that 80,000.
The sub-basin is overdrafting it.
The sub-basin.
But not necessarily.
East Kuya is assigned 28,000. We think that might be an overstatement. We really think there's probably an overstatement there. But our job now is, and Matt, he'll be really busy the next 5 years collecting data and analyzing it. And he gets to get stuck in his own little room with no windows, food once in a while.
Bread and water rations.
Bread and water rations.
No water, yeah.
If it's dry, he doesn't get water.
So, Mike, what impact does the growth of the cities of Tulare, Visalia, Hanford, have on the overdrafting issue?
So if you think about the city of Lindsay, you're using water, but your groundwater and your surface supply combined, you're not taking water out of the ground. You're a net provider of groundwater. Mm-hmm. Visalia and Tulare, Farmersville, Woodlake, Exeter are all 100% dependent on groundwater. 100%. They'll return about 70% of what they take. So if they take 100,000 acre feet, they're going to put 70 back. But still, they'd use 30,000 acre feet. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the specific numbers, and if we really want to get down to figure it out, but it's a lot. But they're in the same situation. They're a prescriptive right holder. They don't have a overlying right to that groundwater. A person with land owns that water underneath them, has right to that water. But collectively, the cities get water and provide it to their citizens. Growth in the communities will just add to the demand. And that's developed in the plan. We say, okay, what's the city going to be population-wise in 2040 and 2070? What's the condition, global warming condition going to do to our groundwater condition, our demand on surface supply and groundwater supply? How much water is going to be needed to crop citrus? 70% of our crops in this GSA are citrus. That's going to go up a little bit because we're going to have heat earlier, and we're going to have that will raise the amount of water we need to farm crops. All that math is done in here and supported with the hydrogeologist stamp.
So, bottom line, what does that mean for the ag that surrounds us? Does the plan include fallowing land or what?
So, yeah, I mean, there is some of that, a reduction of action section is about 12,000 acre feet of actions, reduced demand. So if I were to say, what does that mean? If a farmer, we're going to use, around here about 3 acre foot per acre, that 12,000 acre feet converts into 4,000 acres of farming that will go out of production. In this area, Linmore, LSID, Lewis Creek, Exeter, we think we're sustainable with the water we have now, our surface supply, and our allowance of groundwater, the farmers in our area. But there are conditions that are changing our surface supply. And that's demand from the environmental agencies at taking water. We lost a lawsuit that's taking about 185,000 acre feet of water from Fresno down to Bakersfield. That's a lot of water. That solved your guys' problems for about 150 years.
Yeah.
That's 1 year. That's 1 year that they're taking that much water. So it does mean it's at some point there possibly would be conversion of ground. We're doing this hopefully on a voluntary basis. We'll say, Farmer Brown, Farmer Sanchez, if we give you this amount of money, will you not farm this year? So farmers who have high dollar crops, farmers who have high dollar crops are going to go to these people and say, lower value crops, can you not farm that silage this year? A corn crop will take a demand about 7 acre feet from the ground. So that's a lot of water. So you talk to them and you've solved a lot of your problem.
You think citrus is okay for a while?
This area here will probably be good. And Linmore has already been for the past 10 years working on resolving the lost water we have that went to our lost lawsuit. So we're still going to be okay, we think, because we're taking actions. In the past, historically, we didn't use the wet year supply. We couldn't. We would sell it. Now we're going to use it. Now we're going to find places to put it. We're going to run it down the creeks, or we're going to run it into basins, or we're going to sock it away everywhere we can. Same with Exeter. Mm-hmm. So the other ones are mostly class one suppliers.
So what if they reject the plan? What's the plan?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I don't think they're going to reject it. they might have questions. There's going to be people who don't like the plan, mm-hmm. in particular the water quality folks, environmental folks, because we're not taking remedial action. We're not going, well, let's dig up all the earth, remove all the constituents, and then put fresh dirt back down and put the water. It's just not going to happen. We cannot do it. You couldn't afford the solution. This area could not afford the solution to that. We have to wait our time, become sustainable with the demand, and that will help over time. Solution to pollution is dilution. Over time, we're going to solve. It may be 40 years, 50 years, 70 years down the road. So will they reject? I don't think they will. We're going to all look alike, these plans.
How many GSAs are there?
The last one.
In the state of California, because every county had to do this, right?
There's high and critically overdrafted, which a lot of the Central Valley is, so we're on the 2020 timeline. There's others that are on the 2022 timeline. For the 2020 timeline, there's 126 basins, I think, that is at least one GSA. Cuyah's 3, King's is 7, Tule's 6 or 7. I think there's
4
in Tulare Lake, which are our neighbors. That are all doing their own plans essentially and coordinating amongst them. So, yeah, on that timeline that was showed, that several months, the state has 2 years to review these things. There are varying opinions on. There's varying opinions on what will happen there.
Yeah.
How many will get done or what that timeline is. There's been several discussions with the state through this process, talking to them, and I think there's going to be more. Earlier on, it was more, okay, they're going to take it and grade it and give you the grade at the end of the day. I think there is more indication that they're going to be, okay, we have questions on it. Let's talk about it. What were you thinking on it? Or you address this data gap. Talk us through that a little bit more, what you're doing to fill it, because no one's done these plans before.
This is all brand new
in the state. So
yeah, all brand new.
There's been several studies for agencies that have done water budgets for the groundwater budget, the ins and outs, but for this magnitude and then coordinating amongst our neighbors within the basin and out of the basin, there's a lot of moving pieces. So it's been a pretty substantial effort to get to this point since the GSA formed in 17. We're basically putting the GSA on the hook for a whole lot more come February, with the gaps we need to fill and the monitoring and coordinating going forward. It's just, there's going to be a lot of new information that's developed. And so really the plan, kind of the balance between those projects and management actions is really the sigma term for demand reduction, whether that's pulling out ag land or just saying you can only pump X amount in 1 year. And as we're going to fill data gaps or planning on filling those data gaps, the information is going to get better. The water budget numbers are going to get tighter with using actual data as opposed to estimates. The intent for the GSA has been, we know there is surface water available that from the member agencies that can be better utilized, especially in those wet years. Let's find homes for that water first before we really start telling people in the agency as a whole, okay, you can only pump this amount.
Potentially, might have to tell everybody that's in our GSA that's on a well how much water they can pump, and you have to monitor that somehow, or they'll have to monitor that?
We'll have to monitor it, yeah. There's a couple conditions that there's what's called a de minimis user, and that's a person whose demand is 2 acre feet or less.
Okay.
So we don't.
Well, so if you're just like on your house on your few acres or something.
If you've got a farm or you got cattle or cows, or you're going to be observed.
So it's, you know, when we had the drought, there were a lot of ranchers digging their wells even deeper and going, really taking away water from their neighbors. Is there anything that's going to regulate that?
The regulator of that is the county. But what we can do is regulate how much they get. They can dig that thing 5,000 feet deep, but if we say all you get is 2 acre feet, you've just paid, I mean, you're talking about $100 a foot for a well. Mm-hmm. So if they dig a, you know, 500 foot well, there's a lot of money invested there, and you won't get but X amount of acre feet from that. So that's what it's going to come out down to. Like, again, if we can find a way to use our additional surface supply, wet year supply, I really think this southern end, especially of the East Kaweah, is not going to have the challenges that we're concerned with so much to our west, where there's a lot of development, farm development, but not a lot of surface supply.
So does this plan connect to anybody around us?
Yeah, so you want to look at
Mike's
picture?
Yeah,
that's a really good point.
We've all got to coordinate.
The very first one.
You'll be submitting all together, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, one up. Go up right there. These are the people around us. Chuli Sub-Basin, Tulare Lake Sub-Basin, and Keeg Sub-Basin. They also have GSAs in there. And they have to develop a plan, but they have to, in that sub-basin, coordinate their efforts. And then that sub-basin has to coordinate their efforts with their neighboring sub-basins. So in that 660,000 acre foot number, it doesn't include what we call a subsurface inflow of 60,000 acre feet. We're not putting an assignment of that water to anybody yet, because we have to coordinate that with our neighboring basins. Is that our water or is it their water? So our problem could be reduced if the 60,000 becomes ours. Historically, we've used it, and there's a lot of impetus, a lot of probably legal discussion around that, but likely it will become, at least in part, become some of our supply. So our number will, our overdraft will come down some.
Well, we're on the west, on the east side, mm-hmm. not the west side. There's potential for, like, huge impacts. And
west side's in dire straits.
We do have to watch it, though, just with the shallowness of the aquifer on this side. Mike alluded to that with the gradient that's caused water, just like on the surface, underground flows downhill. And if that draw is too steep, start drying off this end, because that's the top of the bathtub that gets dried out first. So that's part of the coordination that's included in this.
Between the GSAs.
Yeah, internal to the sub-basin, and it will likely include discussions with neighbors as well. But there's a lot of moving pieces.
Are the GSAs kind of working together okay, or is there a lot
of... Yeah, we're doing really good. But the rubber hasn't hit the road yet, so when that happens, then we'll have... That's where the fights will begin. Somebody's going to be harmed. I mean, it's just
somebody's going to be harmed.
There's lawsuits. I'm sure lawsuits will happen. And we'll just come asking you guys for more money. No, I'm just joking. We think that $875,000 is probably what we're going to look at for Sigma management, and then your governance piece. You're going to be $60,000. You know, over the time, it's going to go up more as the cost of doing business goes up, but. Roughly, that's where you'll be.
I think one of the things we were able to work out with the board was that the city residents will be spared any additional increase as far as the Prop 218 is concerned.
Yeah.
So we were very grateful for that.
Yeah, we've eliminated you from. There's going to be a Prop 218. That's when we go out and assess land. The city requested that. You'd be excluded from that, so there's not going to be a charge. You'll just, like I said, it's about $27,500 that you'll have to pay from your general fund or other revenues that you have, maybe from your utility revenue, but you'll have to figure that out. And then the $30,000 is your governance. That's your sort of your membership fee in the GSA. Your vote.
Membership. All right.
Sorry it takes so long. Any other questions?
Just important stuff. I know.
Read better than having to read that.
Big book. And
you. Thank you.
Well, we're keeping an
hour, so. Doing a great job. These guys are doing a great job.
Thanks.
And we need to give Mike a big thank you, too, because in addition to going to the board meetings, he's also on the technical advisory committee. And does a fabulous job there with his technical expertise in helping to create that document. So Mike's
Mike's an important part of the process.
Well, you know, Mike gets paid to do that work.
And you don't.
And I don't. I think I'm going to ask for a raise.
That's the person who does the hard work. Thank you, folks.
Thank you. Okay. We have one more potentially kind of big thing on the agenda tonight. Item 7, environmental justice element draft.
Right. So this, we've been going through different parts of our general plan update. You remember Carl Slough came and gave a presentation on the housing element. Mm-hmm. This is the next step. We have a few more of these kind of smaller chunks that we go through. And so what we're talking about tonight is whether or not council would like us to release the draft for public comment, public review. So that's why it wasn't in the packet, because we're waiting for council's approval to send it out. So what I'm going to do is, I won't read through it, but I will give you a quick presentation on what is in that document. So
summation.
Let's jump over there.
A very short summation.
Yeah. So state law requires us to look beyond just our city limits to see if there are potential areas of growth outside the city or others that need help with environmental justice. And so this document addresses those, and you can see the different citations there where it comes from. Let's go on to the next one. We'll go a little quicker. So this maps out city limits in the black. The sphere of influence is the red, and we have to be aware of any areas within this that meet certain income thresholds and certain number of housing units. And so there are 5 of those that we have to be pay some attention to. So let's one of those. So we have these 5 different ones. First Street on Road 214 is number 1 on the map. Pagemore, Road 224 at First Street, and that's the southwest quadrant of where those intersect. Foothills and between Road 224 and 220. And then on Road 220 and the intersection with Orange Belt Avenue. And so those are the areas that have housing developments. There may only be 10 houses in this area, but it's, are those areas being considered or thought about or having access to services? And so what this document does then is it takes those 5 areas and evaluates them for each one of these bullet points. These are all the required reviews in those state government code citations. So you're looking at how close is the city. What is the housing stock like there? What are the land uses? What's it finding like? Are they in flood zones or not? What type of impact did that have on the community? Are there pollution exposures in these particular areas? And if they are, how severe are they? How close are the public facilities? And so you'll see things like it's 2.3 miles to a park, or it's 2.5 miles to a recreation facility. It talks about food access. How far is it to a store? Is it a half mile where they could walk? Or is it all vehicle traffic? It goes through all that evaluations. Are there safe and sanitary homes there? What's the physical condition like? Are there any unique or compound health concerns in these areas? What's the water and wastewater services like? What's the stormwater drainage like? And then what about fires? What would be the structural fire protection there in those areas? And so it's really trying to look at, are these areas cared for in these? And if not, then what happens with it? So after looking at those different objectives they have to meet, they need to skip a couple there. They're going to go through, and for each of those areas and the policies they come up with, they're going to go through this 5-step process of defining the problem statement for that area, identifying the policy approach, stating the goals, listing the objectives, and outlining the policies, programs, and actions that include the different groups that would be kind of responsible for providing that type of need. The city's situation right now requires us to leave most of the actions to the county or other nonprofits that have access to those areas, because they're too far outside our city limits to provide the services there. And so each area in the document addresses who would do that and what type of solution would it be, the degree to which the city could participate or not participate in that. And so that's the overview of that lengthy document. Carl's done a good job with it. He's thorough, as you saw, the housing thing, and he's made sure to cross his T's and dot his I's on it. But tonight, the request is of council would like us to release that to the public for review. All these will come back on December 10th. That's going to be a busy day. We'll have this public meeting for these, and we'll have the audit report that day. So it'll be a lengthy one, but again, I'm assuming council doesn't want one on the 24th of December. So we're
well, it's only lengthy if there's people that want to comment on the
document. Carl's going to come and give a presentation.
Carl,
so
okay.
It's gonna...
okay.
Is there a limit or something on the presentation? Or is it...
I'm sorry, what was that?
Is there going to be a limit?
Time limit?
We're going to get some little red lights that we can buzz.
Shocking.
Well, yeah. No, this is something we have to do. So,
yeah. And so there'll be a safety piece that's separate. So that's another one he's working on. Then I'll recall, Mike, is there one more piece that will be for December, or is it just the safety? Just the three? So we'll come back again with a safety document he's already working on. And so we'll have a housing, environmental justice, and safety.
And just a question. I know that the county has to be involved in this because it would be the good thing. We had, when Bill was here, we had set up a meeting with Kyler about helping us with some of these streets that were mentioned here.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you could really reach out to him and kind of remind him about that.
Yeah, actually, if I may add, I just talked with Kyler a week or two ago, and a couple of those five were mentioned.
Yeah,
that they are
they
are looking closely at it.
Yeah, we had discussed it earlier. So
yeah.
Okay.
So, but definitely want to follow up.
On that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, what action would the council like to take? Do we want to release? Do we have a motion to release this draft to the public?
I motion that we release this to the public.
I second it.
Motion by Cortez, seconded by Flores. All in favor? Is that all we need?
In
favor?
Yeah, I think you can just tell us to do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I didn't hear any no's. Okay.
Wonderful.
All right. Are there requests for future agenda items?
Well, I just kind of want to follow up. I know tonight we mentioned the census quite a bit. So I'm talking to Kyler on Sunday. He says the county... Or there's some group, and I can't remember if it was a county or if there's a group of people, maybe it was
TCAG,
that has like a detailed update on it, like a specific things that are happening to ensure that, you know.
Well, there's a committee, and I think Becky's our representative on it.
Becky has been working with Barbara Pillegard with TCAG and Dolores Gallegos from Census 20. is meeting with Becky next week, and so it's still a ways out. Dolores has experience in our area, and so we're going to lean heavily on her experience, and then we'll do outreach as we can.
Yeah, there's several.
I mean, if any community wants to go to those meetings,
yeah, there's a lot of community organizations that are going to take part in that.
I'm sure
tons.
That they're reaching out to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I just, if I could get more information as far as like meetings, maybe that I could attend then, or if we could get an update. I know that neighboring communities are partnering up with like school districts, and I don't know. I haven't heard anything here yet.
Yeah, what was her name that you mentioned, that other gal that Becky's meeting with?
Dolores.
She was at the TCAG meeting, and I did connect with her a little bit. She's the one that told me, well, Becky's our contact,
right.
But... you know, if a council member wants to get more involved, they could.
So I'm interested. So if there's more information that I can get.
But for now, most of the meetings have been, I want to say, like Tuesday afternoon. And it just meets everyone's schedule.
Right?
That's just the foundation. It's not actually doing any of the outreach.
But, yeah, it hasn't really kicked off with all of that.
So there isn't, like, a plan
but there is,
in place.
The plan is being put into place right now.
Okay.
And the partners lined up. So Jeff,
should we put the hospital board that on there, or should we wait until they reach back to
us? I think we should just
wait
and see how it goes
and
then see what we need to do. Obviously, we'll be having to follow up a little bit.
Okay.
Because we'll have to do a final. Well, I don't know. If they approve, then we're good.
If
right?
You sign
do we
the
just sign
tonight,
it?
Tonight, they just have to decide to sign or not. And like I said, it's all their edits. We'll let everything they didn't want, put everything in that they want.
Yeah. And then they have something else to add, right? Or minus or subtract whatever.
Yeah, I suppose we should review it before.
I did read it. It seemed like it was okay. Way better than what we had before.
Okay.
So, way better than the 2007.
Well, there was only what? There was only a few edits. There wasn't really much.
They had quite a few edits to come back with. So there was discussion.
Yeah, there were. There were
changes. But they were all good edits.
But I think they're okay.
It was all meaningful stuff.
They just all sound the same to me.
Now. Hopefully, they're as anxious to just get this over with
as
we are. Okay, so with that, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Watson. Second by everybody.
Yeah.